You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. A few days away from the NBA season, and today we're going to get into the awards market. We're going to give you our picks for MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, MIP, Rookie of the Year. What am I missing in there? All the awards. We'll get Sixth Man of the Year. We'll get into all of it, and helping me to break down these awards markets, you guys already know the superstars of the show. First, the villain, it's Terrell Furman Jr. Terrell, how you feeling, my man?
Yes, yes, Moonoff. We are here at the D-Gens, the award show of all award shows, the award shows here that is for the people, by the people, to give the people what they want, which is degeneracy. I'm great to be here. It's great to be here. Love it. I love it.
A lot of y'all obviously can't see this, but Terrell actually does have his tux on for this award show.
I have the tux on for this award show. I was, you know, dressed to impress. I had to walk the red carpet a little bit earlier, had a nice little tenderoni with me. So, yeah, we're here. We're ready.
And also joining us, the man that does it both on and off the court for SGPN, it's Scott Studio Reichel. Scott, what's going on, my man?
Yeah, happy to be here. Looking forward to going through some of these awards. I know last year I made a decent amount of money with awards, mostly involving Coach of the Year. So hopefully we hit a couple and hopefully we'll make some money together.
Yeah, about six awards markets we'll go through. We'll give you maybe one or two each that we lock for each category. And like Scott said, hopefully we can put some money in your pockets at the end of the season. Yeah, definitely shop around for the best number to get these awards, because again, to get down on the bets for these awards, a lot of not conflicting numbers, but odds that are better at some books than others. But guys, let's dive right into it. Why don't we just start with Rookie of the Year for this upcoming season? It was a very loaded draft, especially at the top three. I mean, we can make the argument for maybe top five, top six picks this year, but a lot of intriguing storylines with Rookies of the Years this season. Scott, let me start with you for Rookie of the Year. Who do you like, if you have maybe one or two guys you want to give out for Rookie of the Year award?
So I have two. I'm sure most people like Banchero, and even though I think he's got a very good chance to win the award, I can't take him at plus 190. I think it's a bit of a crazy price there, especially since he hasn't played a game in the NBA yet. I'm not overreacting to how underwhelming he's looked in the preseason, because who cares? It's the preseason, but I still don't like plus 190. So the first one is going to be an obvious choice. It's going to be one of the favorites for this award. It's going to be Keegan Murray. Wait, what? Who?
Chet Holmgren?
Holmgren? No. Unfortunately, you know, he had to do the difficult task of stepping in front of LeBron in a pickup game, and as a result, he's out for the season. It's why most people don't play defense in pickup games during the offseason, but Holmgren is officially out, so that's kind of rough there. But I am going to go with Murray over there in Sacramento. He's looked phenomenal every step of the way, whether it was the summer league, whether it was preseason. I said I'm not going to overreact to it, but I think Sacramento might also be a decent team. They could maybe be a play-in team, so I do think that it could be.
Where was this energy at? I don't remember hearing this. Okay.
Well, because we went through a couple divisions. Unfortunately, we did not go through the Pacific, so we didn't get to actually talk about Sacramento. But I think that team's actually not terrible. So I think that they could win some games and end up being a surprise team that might steal some media headlines every now and then. So I think that people will keep an eye on Murray as a result. But I like him, especially at the current price of around 4-1 or 5-1. I see 5-1. I think he's just a very solid player. And I do think that since he can excel in several areas, both in the paint potentially or even from the three-point line, I think he could have a very nice stat line as a rookie. So he's my first pick. Then I have a somewhat long shot at around 10-1. It's going to be Mathurin on Indiana at 10-1. I just think that you're looking at a spot where he's on an awful team and that might be used against him. The fact that he plays for Indiana doesn't help because nobody cares about watching Indiana play. But the point is, he's a very talented player on a team that should give him a bunch of shots per game. And I do think if he's going to be able to potentially put up 18 a game, maybe 20. I mean, if you're looking at the overall roster, he might get the green light for 15 plus shots a game. They're just going to be that bad, especially in the second half of the year when they have nothing to actually play for besides giving all the youngsters all the shot attempts. I think Mathurin could be a very good stat guy to win this award if he somehow averages around 19 to 20 points, which I think is reasonable. But 10-1 for a guy who's arguably the number one weapon offensively in his first game in the NBA onward, I think it's a good price. I'm going to go with Mathurin at 10-1 as well.
Yeah, I only had one for Rookie of the Year. It was actually Ben Mathurin as well. And for a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned there, Scott, at 10-1, I think that's pretty good value for a guy that's going to have the green light with Tyrese Halliburton in that backcourt. And he's had a phenomenal preseason as well. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, have been watching Indiana Pacers games, but he's actually looked incredible. The physicality that he has for his size is kind of eye-popping when you actually watch him play. But he can knock down the shot. He can get to the basket at will. And I 100% agree with you, Scott, that he's a player on this roster that can average 18, possibly 20 points per game. And I think that's a good enough resume to have to win Rookie of the Year. And he's efficient as well. So I had Ben Mathurin at 10-1 as well. I only had one for this category, so I'll throw it over to you, Terrell. Rookie of the Year, what do you got?
No, so, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and talk up Ben Carroll. We all know what Ben Carroll is and what he can do in the league. I'm going to just throw out a long shot because I did like you and Scott's picks. So I'm going to just throw a long shot out there that I think can have an impact if he gets the time. And it's Shaedon Sharpe over in Portland. And we know what Portland's trying to do. We know how Portland wants to kind of control pace, wants to have really success on that offensive side of the ball. And I think that Shaedon Sharpe is a person that they can go to kind of help, not say fill that CJ McCollum role, because I think they do two different things, but be another scorer in addition to Anthony Simons, in addition to Dame Lillard, in addition to what they have. And I think he can do that. And if they already said that they want Simons coming off the bench and coming in that six-man role, I think that just opens up a door and a pathway for him to get into that starting lineup really, like, really, really soon. So give me Shaedon Sharpe. I think that he can be a really, really prolific scorer, and I'll take that at 25-1.
I found 33-1 if you want that instead.
Yeah, there you go. The best price I can get.
Yep. All right. Let's keep it moving here then, guys. Let's go to Defensive Player of the Year in this betting market for this upcoming season. Obviously, Rudy Gobert has won this award, what, 3 years in a row now? 2 years in a row now?
No. Last year, Marcus Smart won it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, it was the first guard since Gary Payton. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So, Terrell, let me start with you for Defensive Player of the Year here, man. What do you like? Who do you like, I should say?
I want to throw – if I had to throw a guard out there and just throw it – like, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm putting everything on a guard, but if I had to throw a guard out there, it would be somebody like Gary Payton II. Especially just because he might be healthier this year. This might be a year that we'll see him in a starting lineup. You know, I was just talking about Shaedon Sharpe. Well, he's got to try to help kind of move Gary Payton II out the way, or kind of they got to play with that lineup a little bit, see how they want to do that. But if Gary DePayton II, I think that's a long shot guard. Some everybody's looking for this year's Marcus Smart or whatever. That's a fun pick. But for me, it's pretty easy. And I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take Giannis, 10-1. Giannis has been one of the best defensive players in the league. And I see him sitting here at 10-1. You probably shop around. You might be able to find a better price. But over here at WinBet, 10-1. And I don't think it's going to Rudy Gobert again. I have questions of how he's going to gel over there in Minnesota. Bam is always a fun pick. Robert Williams can't stay healthy long enough. I don't trust him. Evan Mobley is fun. And I think Evan Mobley is somebody that kind of, you know, might be a year too early for him. But Giannis, I see the consistent production. Giannis is going to be healthy this year. If Giannis plays majority of the season, I think he's automatically a top three, in the top three for defensive player of the year. So you're getting value back on your ticket. Give me Giannis 10-1.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to get any argument about me from Giannis. The guy is one of the best players in the league. He's top three, no doubt, maybe even the best player in the NBA. But he does it both on offense and defense. I mean, look, the length this guy has, the rebounding that he can do, the amount of block shots and steals that he can get, and he's always in that conversation with defensive player of the year. And I think he has won this award before as well. So, yeah, I like Giannis there as well. Scott, what do you got? Defensive player of the year?
So I had two choices. I didn't want to take one big man because even though Smart won last year, it's mostly a big man dominated award. Mm-hmm. I picked Giannis at 10-1. I love the odds. If you want a really fun stat here to show you how good he is, first of all, he did win the award before. He won in 2020 along with the MVP. Mm-hmm. Second of all, he's averaged at least one block per game and one steal per game in each of the last seven seasons.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Not many players can do that. So I do think he can put up some big stats. And I feel like Morant last year winning most improved might kind of suggest a pathway for a lot of players to win awards they maybe shouldn't win.
Oh, wait till we get to that market. Wait till we get to that market.
We're going to get to that market. But
yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
If Giannis doesn't win MVP, for example, hypothetically speaking, but he's so good they have to give him something. Mm-hmm. I think they might groove him defensive player because he won't win MVP. Like, I feel like there's a pathway where you want to give somebody recognition for having a great year, but there's a better candidate for one award, but you still want to give him a trophy. I think defensive player could be one of those where they realize, you know, Giannis is the best player in the world. He's not going to win MVP. We got to give him something, and they'll just give him defensive player instead. I think there's a pathway there, but I do have one long shot. Since Smart did win it last year, I do want to at least mention a wing or a guard that could end up winning the award. I went with Herb Jones at 60-1 on Foxbet. I just like the odds of 60-1. He played 78 games last year, 69 starts. Nice. I think he should probably start more games this season. But the point is, you're looking at his overall teammates, not great defensively. Let's put it that way, with Ingram and Zion and even Valanciunas. We know Herb Jones is going to end up guarding the best offensive player on the other team, basically night in, night out. We know his wingspan's incredible. We know he's just a great defensive player. We saw it in the playoffs. And I think for 60-1, for a Pelicans team that we think is going to be very good this year, and I think that they're going to be a very talked about team because of the fact that Zion, I know he tweaked his ankle. We'll see what happens, but still. The point is, we think New Orleans will be good, so I think the media will be talking about them. And I think that since Herb Jones already is well-known in most people's minds as being a defensive specialist, people talk about him. But I think if you want to talk about some value and where you could find a guy who could, keyword could, wow some people with some defensive highlights and maybe becoming a all-NBA first-team defensive guy, I think that it's a great price for Herb Jones at 60-1 to win defensive player. When we know when it comes to wing defenders, he's already, what, like a top five, top 10 wing defender in the league?
Yeah.
I'll take him at 60-1.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, yeah, we talked a lot about last season about Herb Jones and just the pure ability that he has, like his length and his defensive ability, and what you just highlighted there, Scott, that he's going to be guarding the opposing team's best player. There's no question about it. And I think that's where a lot of his steals and, you know, block shots are going to rack up. And this could be a guy that can average at least one steal per game and possibly get two blocks a game as well. So, yeah, I love that. For me, I actually did take Evan Mobley at 10-1. I know, Terrell, you mentioned that. I mean, he may be a year or two away, but I just think that what he was able to do last season in his rookie year, I believe he averaged close to 2 blocks per game, and he was almost at 1 steal per game. And I think that's only just going to improve for him coming into this season. I don't think they're going to rely a lot on him on the offensive side when you add a guy like Donovan Mitchell, but that front court of where you have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, Mobley's a guy that I think that can lead this league in block shots per game. He had a great defensive rating last year in the NBA, and he was number 11, I believe, in defensive efficiency last season, just outside of top 10. But I think that this is going to be an area where Evan Mobley really improves. I think that at 10-1, I really do like the price. Like you said, Terrell, maybe a year or two away from that, but I think I want to dabble in that and take Evan Mobley at 10-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
I found 17-1 if you want.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's even better. All right. Before we get into the next awards market, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, WynnBET. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Well, now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 and get a $100 free bet. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus of up to $1,000. And if you're looking to join WynnBET's biggest winners club, and whoever hits the biggest parlay on WynnBET's odds gets a $1,000 free bet. Last week, someone turned a $6 parlay into $4,000 plus, and they got a free $1,000 bet courtesy of WynnBET. WynnBET is truly hashtag DGens only. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, gentlemen, two down. Let's get into the next awards market. Let's go. I think this one may be a quicker conversation just because it was kind of transpired, but let's go to Sixth Man of the Year. Terrell, let me start with you for Sixth Man of the Year. Where do you or who do you like for this award coming into this new season?
All right. Let's see.
For the record, I think we're all going to have the same guy, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, I'm trying to, like,
it's a pool put party. It.
Look, I like Bones Highland. I think that is good price at 14-1. I think that is a great price because that Denver Nuggets offense has struggled at times. They're getting everybody healthy this year. They're going to, he's going to be that guy in the second unit. I like him. I like Anthony Simons. I know this is a Blazers party for me today. I do like Anthony Simons at 25-1. Very good odds. However, there is not a number you could throw at me that would ever in life get me off of Jordan Poole right here because there is nothing else short of an MVP. There is nothing else you can do than to get this stain off of you right now. Like you have to ball out. You have to, because the moment you have a bad game, the moment anything is wrong, the moment somebody looks at you and says, "But why ain't you do that, Draymond? You can't talk shit to me. Why ain't you say that, Draymond?" Hey, this has to be it. Like this has to be it. Short of an MVP, this is the award you have to win this year to just go ahead and get all of that off your back. So give me Jordan Poole. I can't not do it. Jordan Poole plus 400.
You're not getting argument from me. I mean, that's the only guy I had written down as I mean, he's the 4-1 favorite and for a reason, right? And I'm not going to expand on anything you just said there, Terrell. Jordan Poole, I mean, look, last season had an incredible year. He's only going to get better. He's going to be part of this organization for the Golden State Warriors for the foreseeable future. If they had to make a decision right now, if it's between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, they know, or we know, that they're going to pick Jordan Poole. So I think he's going to have another incredible year. The other guy I had written down was going to be Spencer Dinwiddie at 20-1. I know that the Mavs came out and said that Christian Wood is probably going to be in that sixth man role for them, but I think eventually he's going to be in that starting lineup with Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr. and those guys. So Spencer Dinwiddie, 20-1 off the bench for the Dallas Mavericks. I think that's a guy who can easily average 18 points per night coming off of that bench, where he's going to have the ball in his hands when Luka is getting his rest or maybe even taking a night off. So Spencer Dinwiddie at 20-1 was my other one. But yeah, 100% agree about 4-1 on Jordan Poole. Scott, anything different here?
Yeah, the only difference is I found Poole at plus 450. So I'll take that instead. But I'm going with Poole. I feel like I have to. Yeah. I feel like some people, just for a full PSA disclaimer, they're going to take Hero because they like the value and they think that since he won last year, he'll win it again. Don't do it, because Spoelstra basically said he's starting. So I don't think he's going to qualify for the award by the end of the season, because you got to remember, in order to actually qualify for this award, you have to come off the bench in most games. I don't think Hero is going to fit that mold, because it seems like Spoelstra realized, all right, we paid him that much money, he kind of has to start now. So I don't think he's going to come off the bench. But Poole's guaranteed to come off the bench for the entire season, because they're not going to bench Clay, they're not going to bench Wiggins, and of course Curry's untouchable. So the point is, Poole's guaranteed to be a bench player the whole season. And Golden State also on TV all the time, as they should, because they just won the title. I think you'll see Poole have a couple of big games in the national spotlight. It's mostly just based on where I think this line's going to go during the regular season. I feel like Hero was one of the favorites last year. We thought he'd end up having a very solid year and be the favorite. Mm-hmm. And you're about a month in, and he went from like plus 300 to minus 500 a month into the season. I think Poole at some point is going to very, very quickly be like even money in this race, because all it takes is one good game, and there's not many great sixth man candidates. I like your Dinwiddie call. I think Dinwiddie could work out. Simons is good, but I'm concerned about injury issues. He might miss some time because he gets hurt every year, so we'll see what happens. But Poole at plus 450, that line's not going to be there for that much longer. I'll tell you that much. I think at some point during the year, he's going to be minus. And if you can get plus 450 now, run to it. I'm going to take it now, and I'm going to assume he wins the award. But give me Jordan Poole at plus 450.
It's like, you got to remember who votes on this award. If you're sitting here and you know what you saw this offseason happen to Jordan Poole, and you have your sixth man of the year ballot, and you have Jordan Poole's name right there, you're going to vote for him. Like, they're going to vote for him. There's no way that if he is a candidate in the top three this year, that the voters do not feel bad and vote for Jordan Poole. You have, like, that other person has to be scoring like 20 points per game off of the bench. If Jordan Poole's number is closest to anybody else, they're going to vote for Jordan Poole.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but selectively recalling, I'm pretty sure that in order to actually win sixth man of the year, you have to play for a really good team, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of any sixth man of the year candidates.
Miami, Utah, Lou Will with the Clippers.
And Jordan Crawford with the Clippers. I mean, a lot of those teams were like top three, four seeds. Usually they do very, very well in the regular season. Montrezl. At least that's what I could think of. Jason Terry, he was always on very good teams as well. The Warriors should be a top three team in the West, let alone the league. So I think that he kind of checks every box there. That's the one concern I have with Simons, because I don't think Portland's going to be very good this year. And I think that if they end up finishing, let's just say, ninth in the Western Conference, do you think they win a bench award? Like, I don't know if Portland's going to be good enough for him to win the award. Golden State will be good enough for Poole to win this award. But maybe it's selective recall, maybe it's not. Can any of you think of a bench player that won the award on a potentially bad team? Because I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I can read you down the list here. We can probably go like 5-6 years.
I'm going to think of the records for each team, but I'm assuming most are going to be top five in their conference.
Yeah, I mean, you guys already mentioned last year, Tyler Hero, Miami Heat, number one seed. Jordan Clarkson of the Utah Jazz, I think they were a top three seed that year.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell in 2020 with the Clippers.
Yeah,
that was good. And then, Lou Williams back-to-back years with the Clippers. And then Eric Gordon, the 2017 season, I think the Rockets finished. I want to say they were the one seed that year, possibly. I know they were top three seed. Jamal Crawford, Clippers in 2016. And then Lou Williams again in 2015 with the Toronto Raptors. And then Jamal Crawford, Clippers in 2014. So that goes so about
the,
rap- eight,
the
nine
Raptors
years.
Won. That was back when they still had Dwayne Casey and they lost to LeBron every year.
I believe so, yeah.
But they were a 50. They were a 56
they were a 51
and 20,
squad,
that's the point. They were still the one seed every
that's
year.
Crazy.
They were still the one seed every year. So, yeah, it's kind of a...
It goes to a good team, yeah. It goes to
it's kind
team.
Of an unnoticed trend, which I kind of thought about as we talked about it. I didn't even workshop that. I just kind of was thinking on top of my head, and I always saw elite teams win that award or have a player with that award. I think that trend's going to continue, and I think Poole should be on a very, very good team.
So I think the fun way to kind of – my bad, Mudo.
No, no,
the fun way to kind of attack that is to think about who are those guys coming off the bench, of who we think is going to be the best teams this year, and who's the person that's getting unnoticed that if one thing goes their way, they could be in it for this award this year.
Well, you mentioned Highland. I think Denver should be a very good team in the West. I don't know how good Dallas is going to be with losing Brunson. Like that's the one thing that's kind of holding me back there.
Especially but you got to think they're getting Hardaway back too.
Yeah, I know. And we kind of uncovered this trend. Yeah, though. That's why I'm kind of trying to.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Dinwiddie pick. I was workshopping Dinwiddie as well, because you just think of what they did with the two point guards in a lineup last year, where they were just kind of alternating Brunson and Dinwiddie with Luka. That's all Dinwiddie now, and Christian Wood's going to force them to make him a starter. Like, he's not going to stay off the bench. Yeah, they're going to force him to make him a starter.
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of just look at the list right now, guys, and the names that you kind of went through, it's all good teams, right? Jordan Poole at the favorite with the Warriors. They have Christian Wood 8-1. I don't like that because, like what Jarrell just said, that he eventually, I think he is going to be a starter. Tyler Hero 8-1, Miami Heat. Malcolm Brogdon 11-1 with the Celtics.
No, don't even just speed past that one.
He's not going to play enough games.
yeah, we're going to just.
I think the one guy that is intriguing here is Norman Powell at 11-1 for the Clippers.
Yeah.
And then it is Bones Highland at 14-1, like you guys mentioned. Dinwiddie 20-1. Simons 25-1. The Blazers, we don't think are going to be very good. Clarkson, Utah, not maybe gets traded. And then it's Caris LeVert 30-1 on the Cavs. So, I mean, those are pretty much.
I would give it to Love before I give it to Caris.
Yeah. Kevin Love's 30-1 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anything else for Sixth Man of the Year? I think that was a great conversation there.
I'm just willing to take
Wait. Can I? Okay. So look, let's talk about this.
You're gonna take quickly. Just do it.
No, I'm not gonna take quickly.
He's gonna take Russ.
Because quickly is gonna average like 2 minutes per game. Come on. Okay. All right. So shut up, Munaf. All right. So listen. Darvin Ham just came out and said that Russ is coming off the bench in his last preseason game. So let's go ahead and overreact. Let's all overreact and talk about Russ at 40-1. Please, let's do it. Let's do it. Because there's going to be analysts. There's going to be people on TV. There's going to be these sharps that tell you to take Russell Westbrook at 40-1 now because he's coming off the bench this year and he's going to be the Russell Westbrook of old as soon as he comes off the bench. Please, please, let's talk about it.
But is there the factor that he does get traded to a team during the regular season? He becomes a starter then.
Oh my gosh. It's just, there's going to be somebody that is going out here saying and touting Russell Westbrook. Sixth Man of the Year. Come on. Oh my gosh.
I do kind of want to make a bold call about Westbrook this season. I wasn't sure which podcast I was going to do it on, but apparently it's the perfect time to talking about the Sixth Man of the Year award. I think Westbrook's going to be active for 25 games or less with the Lakers before it becomes such a team cancer they tell him to go home and they trade him. That's my hot take. I think he gets the John Wall treatment halfway through the year. I think he gets, in Terrell's eyes, the Nate Robinson treatment with Isaiah Thomas. I think they tell him, don't even show up to the arena. Just stay home. And we're going to
John treatment is, like, really bad because they really told John just stay at the crib. Like, you really got to pull up. Like, you don't even have to pull up. Like, just you good.
So at least Nate Robinson showed up for the start of the year. Then midway through the season, they told him to take a hike. The body language with that Timberwolves preseason game, which was awful. It looks like he's not really adjusting to anything. That's why I'm not taking Westbrook. I really think the Lakers at some point just say, we can't handle this anymore. Just go home. And then they're going to trade him for, you know, the expiring right around the trade deadline. But can you see that? Because I put the number at 25. I really think the Lakers are going to be so frustrated about a month in. There's a pathway for him to just be told to take a hike. I think that might happen.
Especially if everybody else play up.
And we saw LeBron and AD play up in preseason, and Westbrook was awful. So that's why I think there's a chance they just tell him, you don't want to be here. Why bother? Just leave.
Yeah, we saw the videos that he's not huddling up or you know, all that. All the shenanigans there.
I'm not saying Beverly was playing well either, but at least he was trying to keep a team together.
Yeah. All right. One more name I want to throw at you guys before we get over to the next one. 50-1 on Montrezl Harrell. What do you guys think?
I don't mind it, but I feel like he's so matchup dependent because he can't guard anybody. And we see him get benched all the time because he doesn't play any defense. I feel like that's a serious problem he's going to run into. But I'm going to stick with the favorite. I'm going to go out on a limb here and take the favorite because even though usually you don't find much value with the favorite, for example, Banchero at like plus 190.
Yeah.
Plus 450? I thought this number was extremely high. I thought it would open at around 2-1.
Yeah. So it's going to be a pool party for us, hopefully at the end of the season when Jordan Poole wins Sixth Man of the Year for the Golden State Warriors. All right, before we get over to Most Improved Player of the Year, let me tell you guys about Fubo TV. If you watch football, you need Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone Plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite TV shows with the included cloud-based DVR Plus. There's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. Roster brought to you by Odds Trader. Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different signup codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deal and maximize your bankroll. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. So to take advantage of this, just go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. That's oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets. All right, guys, let's get over to the next awards category. Let's go to Most Improved Player of the Year.
This is going to be a circus. It's going to be an absolute circus.
I have no idea.
I'll start with two guys that I have here. First, I'm going to go with Tyrese Halliburton, 14-1. Since the trade last season from the Sacramento Kings over to the Indiana Pacers, his numbers were up across the board, right? And rightfully so, just because, number one, they lost their best offensive player, Sabonis, over to the Sacramento Kings. And then Malcolm Brogdon was dealing with an injury at that time. But if you kind of look at the numbers when he was with the Kings and over to the Pacers, points per game when he's with the Kings, 14.3, over to the Indiana Pacers, 17.5. He averaged two more assists per game from 7.4 with the Kings to 9.5 with the Indiana Pacers. Shooting percentage went from 45.7 to 50.2 when he was with the Pacers. Now that Malcolm Brogdon's out of that picture, we hear the rumors about Buddy Hield possibly getting traded maybe during the season or closer to the trade deadline. Same thing with Miles Turner. He now has the keys to this offense. It's going to be him and, like we talked about, Ben Mathurin when we talked about Rookie of the Year. He's just going to be that guy for the Pacers. I wouldn't be surprised if Halliburton's going to average close to 22 to 23 points per game and average 9.5 assists per game again for the Indiana Pacers, possibly 10 assists per game for the Indiana Pacers. So I took Halliburton at 14-1. And then my second guy, I took Tyrese Maxey, 11-1 for the Philadelphia 76ers. Look, I think he's going to be he's been a scoring machine. I think last year, from his rookie year, I think he was averaging 8.5 points to about 17.5 last season. I think he's going to take a lot of scoring pressure off of guys like obviously Joel Embiid and James Harden. And he's going to have to be and provide that scoring punch for this Philadelphia 76ers team. Again, another player that I think can average close to 19 to 20 points per game. And I think he's going to be a huge difference maker for the Sixers team on the offensive side. Let's just say if James Harden has an off night or Joel Embiid gets injured and has to miss some games, that Tyrese Maxey can be that guy where he can drop 20 to 25 points in that span if those guys are missing. So I went with the two Tyrese's for MIP, Tyrese Halliburton 14-1 and Tyrese Maxey at 11-1. Terrell, let me start with you. Any thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, no, I like those two picks. I like Maxey a little bit more. Just one, he's on a better team, and I think Maxey can walk into 20-point scoring this year, just kind of playing alongside the guys he's playing with and just kind of making do with the touches he's getting running with that second unit as he likes to do. So I like Maxey as well. I'll throw another name out there. That's and, right. I mean, he's tied for the favorite with Maxey, but, I mean, Anthony Edwards is a guy that I like this year. I think Anthony Edwards has what it takes to be able to make another leap, especially with Rudy Gobert coming in, kind of anchoring that defensive side of ball. I can see them getting out in transition a lot more, knowing, you know, and he loves to run, and you putting on a couple of highlight plays, flashes, then here, there, at some point in the season, everybody's going to be talking about, oh, we love this Minnesota team, and Anthony Edwards is going to be the face of all that. So, yeah, I like Anthony Edwards a little bit too for most improved. And just to throw out a fun one, I like Scotty Barnes, 30-1.
All right. Scott, if you have thoughts on any of the guys that we mentioned, and if you want to give your picks as well.
Yeah, so my first pick was Maxey, and I found him at 14-1. All the reasons that you said before, I just think that he's an extremely, extremely talented player who is still somehow underrated, mostly because of the fact he's overshadowed by Harden and Embiid on his own team. But I do think that Maxey fits the mold of what the award should be. It's kind of going to segue me into a bit of a rant here, but it's why I said this award would be a circus. It's because of the fact Morant won the award, which doesn't make any damn sense, and it kind of sabotaged any precedent the award actually had. Because I don't know what most improved means anymore. He was the number two player in the draft. We knew he was an insanely good player, and he won most improved. I don't know how the hell Ja Morant won this award.
He won most healthy. He won most healthy. That's what it was.
but that's also, that's why I said Giannis could have won defensive player, because they looked at Ja this season and said, well, he's not going to win an award. He's going to leave here with something, so we're going to give him most improved, because why not? But conceptually, he doesn't fit the mold of most improved, because you kind of hope for a guy who was a later draft pick, maybe a guy who was a little bit more developmental in terms of a project, and Ja went from being a phenomenal, athletic, top 10 point guard in the league to a phenomenal, athletic, top 5 point guard in the league, and he won the award. Like, I didn't really see much of
the jump. It was the 19 to 27 jump after he actually started playing games in the NBA.
Like, I mean, I don't really get
that's
it.
That's why people are telling you Zion. That's why people are touting Zion was starting.
Zion
was like
one doesn't
20,
make any damn sense. If he was like 20 player, I'd vote for Zion, but that's
20,
not
20, 38, 40. I think he was some crazy odds, and people bet him all the way to 14-1, and he's really one of the favorites here. And it doesn't make any sense. He averaged 20s. How do you get so much better than averaging 27 points per game?
No, if you vote Zion for comeback player, he came off an injury.
If he averages more than 27 points per game, you might as well be voting on his MVP odds.
Yeah, so that's kind of going to be why I think I'm going to go a bit off the rails here with my other two picks. Maxey would be my vote if I was judging it based on the criteria of most years. I think Maxey's a very good choice. Now I'm going to get into a couple players who were very high draft picks, but I think have a decent shot to actually win the award. First of all, for value, I found Jalen Green at 60-1. I really like the value on Jalen Green. Mm-hmm. And the main reason why, I thought that his numbers last year were a bit underwhelming as a whole compared to how good he was in the second half. And Jalen Green averaged 17.3 points per game. However, he averaged 22.1 points per game post All-Star break, and he has the green light of all green lights. I know Kevin Porter thinks he has the same green light, so they're going to ball hog the entire game. But the point is, Jalen Green, if you watched him in either preseason or just at the second half of last year, he could really average 25 per game, especially on a really bad team. So if you want to go for the, I'd say, points per game differentials and look at the stats and how a guy could make that hypothetical leap on the stat sheet, I think Jalen Green checks those boxes. And I think at 60-1, it's a very good price. The problem was he was the second pick in the draft, but apparently that doesn't matter anymore. So I'm just going to throw Green out there at 60-1. And my super duper long shot, who was also a very high draft pick. In fact, he was a former number one pick in the draft who kind of revived his career last year. It's Andrew Wiggins.
I was just about to say that.
And I'm going
to
take him at 150-1. I love the odds on a Wiggins at 150-1. because he officially had his moment during the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. The problem was you had to give Curry the MVP, so Wiggins didn't get a trophy for that besides the NBA Final trophy. I think if he has a very good year defensively and offensively, they might just give it to him because Golden State will be very good. Draymond has his own things going on right now, but Wiggins guards the best player anyway at this stage in their careers. Mm-hmm. 150-1 for a guy who looks like he's starting to tap into the untapped potential we were waiting for since he was basically in high school in Canada. I'm going to go with Wiggins here at 150-1. I just really like the odds for a player that we saw reach another level in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get an argument from me for 150-1.
Not at all. Not at all.
Munaf, I kind of want your thoughts mostly on Jalen Green because I know you are the Rockets fan.
Yeah, look, last season, if you kind of take a look at the numbers for Jalen Green after they decided to bench Eric Gordon and Christian Wood, the offense looked a lot better when Christian Wood wasn't on the floor, where it was just KPJ and Jalen Green. And I think we talked about this on the PropCast as well last season, Scott, that there was a stretch where Jalen Green had, I think, I want to say it was like 6 or 7 30-point games in a row.
He had like 10 straight games of like 3+ or 4+ threes, and it was still like 2.5. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now.
And then he was still like, he was dropping, I think, 30+ points per game. And I think that's something this season where I think he can average 25 points per game, and he's just that dynamic of a player. I mean, his jump shot is so pure. That's only going to get better. He's going to, you know, be attacking the basket a lot more this season, and he is going to be that offense, right? A lot of people are talking about Jabari Smith Jr. I think that he's going to have more of an effect on the defensive side of the basketball, where the Rockets desperately needed help on that side just because they were one of the worst defensive teams. So I think that's where Jabari Smith Jr. is going to be really good for this team. But I really do think that with KPJ and Jalen Green, like, Rockets fans, the front office know that Jalen Green, that he was, since he was the number 2 overall pick for this team last season, that he is going to be the face of the franchise. And I think this is going to be the season where we're going to start seeing him having the ball more in his hands and being that primary scorer for the Houston Rockets. I know Eric Gordon is going to be in the starting lineup for this Rockets team, but I think eventually, when we kind of progress through the season or get towards the trade deadline, that Eric Gordon might be another piece that will get traded to a contender. I know we talked about that a lot season on our pod as well. But, yeah, I know I'm kind of ranting on here, but I think, yeah, I agree with you at 16-1.
Well, I asked you to rant because it's your favorite team. Yeah. I mean, the argument that people made for Morant was, well, even though he was already really, really good, his points per game average went up by X amount of points. And I'm like, that's great. I still would have voted for Garland. But, you know, still, my point is, if you want to play that game where you just judge season by season for points per game and who has the biggest jump, I think Jalen Green could average 25 points per game if Houston just doubles down and says, listen, we know we're going to be bad. Let's just let the young guys do whatever they want. If they score 25 a game, then we have something for the future.
Yeah, and if you take a look last season, prior to the All-Star break, he was averaging 14.6 points per game.
Post-All-Star break,
22.1. Look at the three-point percentage, 31.1 prior to All-Star break and 38.7 post-All-Star break. So on the season, they're going to look at that season number where he averaged 17.3 last season. But hey, like you mentioned, if you kind of take a look at the pure points per game improvement from year to year for the guys that have won the most improved player of the year, Jalen Green, I think that is a guy that you mentioned, and I 100% agree with you, that is a guy that can average anywhere from 23 to 25 points per game per night for the Houston Rockets. So at 60-1, I'm going to get down on that as well. I think that's a great find there, Scott. All right. Anything else you guys want to mention for MIP before we get over to Coach of the Year?
I hope they go back to giving it to people that actually deserve to win the award instead of just superstars who got injured the year prior, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
If Zion wins the award, they need to retire the award. That's all I'm saying.
Talk your shit. I can't imagine what Zion, like, this would be the greatest season of all time if Zion somehow does better than what he did the last season he played. He averaged 27.
Exactly, right?
He was also one of the most hyped up prospects of all time. Like, it's not like he ever had a moment where he needed to improve that much. He's just an absolute unit. I don't know how he can improve that much. That's the problem.
At least Ja actually had the numbers in his back in 19 to 27. Okay, cool. What do you go from 27 to 35? Like, come on.
And at that point, you're winning MVP. So there's just no point.
Yeah, yeah, like it's no point.
His numbers are going to dip, like, because they brought in CJ McCollum, who's a guy that he's also a scorer, right? And you have Brandon Ingram there as well, too. Yeah. So I don't think he's going to go out and average 27.
So, but let me use that to transition, because you were talking about Coach of the Year, and we are talking about that Pelicans team that does have Zion Williamson, that does have CJ McCollum, that does have Brandon Ingram, that does have Herb Jones. Hey, if Willie Green told you that this Pelicans team was really, really good this year, they can be a top five team in the West, maybe even higher, especially if everybody else stays healthy. And the fact that they have guys that do commit to the defensive side of the ball, like Herb Jones, like Jose Alvarez, like this team can make another leap. And so I like Willie Green. I like what he was able to do in the playoffs with them in a seven game series. Well, not seven game, but in a six game series again with the Suns.
Yeah.
And I like that momentum that they had towards last year to transition throughout the length of this entire year with their full cast healthy, with CJ now in there. I think that the Pelicans is a team that can surprise people. I like Willie Green at 15-1.
Yeah, that's the first name that I put on this list. I mean, we've talked about it all offseason that I'm really high on this Pelicans team. I think they can be a 50-win team this year. And I think that if they get to that number, what did they finish last year? Like 36?
That 36 wins.
Yeah, yeah, so if this team improves by 14 wins in the Western Conference, or let's say even 10 wins, they get to 46 and 36 next season, a 10-game improvement. I think Willie Green will get that Coach of the Year award. If they get to 50 wins and end up as a top four seed in that Western Conference, I think that Willie Green should be Coach of the Year. Terrell, did you have any more on your list, or did you have Willie Green?
Yeah, Willie Green was one. The other one that I had was Nick Nurse at 18-1. Okay. And the reasoning that I couldn't put Nick Nurse above Willie Green was because the Raptors were still a pretty good team last year, even though he, you know, deserved a Coach of the Year for what he was able to do with all the COVID and the injuries and all that. At the end of the day, the Raptors were still a really good team last year, so you're not going to have that win disparity like I think you can have with the Pelicans. However, if I think that the Raptors could potentially be a number one overall seed in the East, I have to put something on Nick Nurse to win the title. To win Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not – I mean, we talked about this on our last pod. We talked about the Atlantic Division that I think we're all in agreement that Nick Nurse is a top three head coach in this league, right? And I think they have the roster and the ability to be a top three seed potentially. Who knows what happens in the Eastern Conference? They can end up as a number one seed. Who knows? I think they have that much talent on their team. But, yeah, no argument for me. I agree with you about Willie Green. That was one of my guys, 15-1. And then I'll also throw in Ty Lue. 13-1. I think this Clippers team, number one, has the best roster from the surrounding pieces to the bench. I think it's a very, very deep roster. If you kind of just look at it, I think they have the potential to be the number one seed in the Western Conference. I think they are favored to be that number one seed if your book does offer that. Maybe Kawhi Leonard gets MVP, but I'm not sure how many games he will play exactly. You know, he likes to take the whole load management and injury, whatever management, take nights off. But I think that if they do end up as a number one seed last season, going from, I think, what was it, 36 wins for this team last year to being a number one seed, I think that they'll reward Coach Ty Lue for, you know, getting this team to that position. Sorry, they were 42-40 last season as a number nine seed. But I think that if they get over to the number one seed this year as the Western Conference number one seed, I think Ty Lue would be the beneficiary of getting the Coach of the Year award. And I think Ty Lue, great coach at making adjustments in game. We saw that a lot last season. And for him to guide this team last season to even 42 wins where they didn't have Kawhi Leonard all season long, Paul George missed significant time, and for them to still finish at a record above 500 and even get into that, you know, that play-in tournament, I think that now being healthy, this team does have the potential to be the number one seed. I think Ty Lue would be that guy to get that Coach of the Year award. So at 13-1 and Willie Green at 15-1, those were the two guys I had written down. Scott, what do you got?
So as soon as Zion signed the actual extension with New Orleans, I said I was going to take Willie Green to win Coach of the Year, and I'm going to make it 3-for-3 there. I don't have a choice. I thought that even though the Pelicans had 36 wins, we saw how good they were in the play-in. I don't think anyone thought they were going to make it out of the play-in, and they did. Then on top of that, they gave Phoenix all they could handle, and mm-hmm. they lost in six. I just think that the Pelicans have the luxury for this award of winning only 36 games last year
yep.
and being a lot better than that in people's minds. And I feel like when you're talking about the win differential that you're expecting, they went on that run in the play-in and against the Suns without Zion. And now they're yeah. at full strength for now. Now, the only problem with taking Willie Green, they're going to be having a heart attack, checking the injury report every day for the next 6 months. So it's not good for your well-being. But I think it makes sense long-term. I have to take him. I think that if Zion stays healthy, big if. But even if Zion plays 60, let's say he plays 60, a reasonable number, New Orleans really should win like 45 to 50-something games.
That's already a 10-game gap.
I think they're that good. And I think that when you're looking at the chemistry with the likes of mostly McCollum and Ingram, which surprised me, but you have the bench unit with Alvarado, even Murphy turned out to be a very solid player. And we saw in the playoffs, he's a very good coach. He's just a very good coach. I think that he can build off of what he did in the playoffs last year and push that forward to potentially a 50-win season. And if we're talking about looking at the framework for a potential outburst for a team, I mean, we saw with Monty Williams, they had all the pieces and they randomly won a bunch of games with Phoenix. Now, Monty Williams didn't win the award that year because it went to Thibodeau instead. But the point is, if you're looking for a team that could explode and quote-unquote shock some people and potentially finish the top four seed, I got to take Willie Green. And I think
They're Memphis of this year. They're this year's Memphis.
Yeah, and you can find 15-1, which I like the odds for. Now, my second pick, I went with a guy who should not have that big of a win disparity, but I think they have a very good shot to be the number one overall seed. It's going to be Steve Kerr, and I'm going to take him at 18-1. Main reason why, a couple reasons. First of all, the Warriors won 53 games last year. Even though Klay missed 52 games, Draymond missed 36 games, and Curry missed 18 games. This team should win 60 if they all stay healthy, big if. And the other reason...
Oh, and guess what? James Wiseman wasn't there either.
Yeah, like, Wiseman is now
he missed 82 games.
Yeah. Wiseman's healthy. Kuminga should play more. Moody's also really good. This Warriors team, if chemistry works out, could really win like 65 games. I really don't think many people would be surprised by that. I think they're that good on paper. And also, Draymond. We got to talk about it. Because if you're talking about how well a coach can create a healthy environment and keep the chemistry afloat, kind of like a Phil Jackson type of role here. If Draymond punches a teammate in the face and they still win 65 games, I think people are going to talk about it. I'm just saying, I think you can make an argument saying, well, Kerr did such a good job during the offseason of making sure this team didn't unravel when Draymond punched his teammate in the face. I think it's a random BS narrative talking point that people can go back on months down the road. But it's mostly because I think Golden State could actually win 60-something games. And you look at Curry and how good the team is as in general with the depth, I think that they should win, if they stay healthy, 60 games. And they should win 60. I think they're going to be that good. But you're looking at Kerr's resume. He only has this award once, and it was because they won 73 games. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very nice spot for a post-championship run where Golden State wins 60-something, gets the one seed, and people sprinkle in some Draymond psycho conversations in there, and how Kerr was a
true... save the locker room.
Save the locker room type of coach. You can see it right now. But the narrative is already there. There's sprinkles over there with the narrative. Give me Steve Kerr at 18-1 for a team that, in my eyes, should be the one seed.
I mean, look, you laid out the case that all the injuries that they... The narrative makes a lot of sense there, right? Yeah. With the whole Draymond Green situation that we had.
There's a lot of check marks that I look for.
Yeah.
And you're not stealing me off of the Steve Kerr is the white knight savior of this team. Yeah.
No other coach would have been able to overcome the Draymond punch despite having two of the best 3-point shooters of all time. But we're not going to talk about that. You know, a lot of coaches would have crumbled when Draymond punched his teammate, but not Steve Kerr.
No. Steve Kerr's different. No. Like, I can see that being painted. Just give me Kerr at 18-1.
All right.
Like, I can just imagine a meme and they have Steve, like, hold is Steve Kerr up like he's Simba with the Steve Kerr face. Like, this, he saved us. This is king.
Yeah.
All right. So that will get us to the pinnacle, I guess we can say, of the NBA, the most valuable player here, the last category that we need to give out our picks for. I think very intriguing here. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, the back-to-back MVP. Not sure that he'll get it three times in a row, especially with getting Michael Porter Jr. back and Jamal Murray back. So, Scott, let me start with you.
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
Jokic is just not going to win the third
string. Let me start with you for MVP here, man. Who do you like for this year's MVP?
So for the MVP, this is one of the awards, kind of like the sixth man this year, where I really was just not interested in any long shots. I thought about maybe Trae Young, decided not to, but I feel like he'll be a popular long shot choice.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going with Giannis. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. It's plus 650. He's won the award twice. It's also been a couple of years since he's won, so I think people might actually vote for him again, which is definitely a big piece. Voter fatigue is really the one thing I try to avoid with this award in particular. They really want to spread the wealth. They don't want to give it to the same guy over and over again, which was the main key, which was the main reason why people wanted Embiid to win it last year. It's because Jokic won it 2 years ago. Don't even bother. Let's get somebody else a shot. But all the stats were pointing to how good Jokic was, and he really could not have not been MVP because of how crazy the stats were. I think it's a great spot for Giannis to reclaim the throne and get the MVP again because of the fact, as we've talked about before, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think it's very close because offensively and defensively, he's just an absolute unit. And Jokic defensively is okay. He's not as good as you kind of want him to be as being a big man. Giannis is crazy on both ends of the floor. We think Milwaukee's probably going to be the one seed if we're just going based on probability. We think Milwaukee should win 55 games, maybe more, and get a one seed. Give me Giannis at plus 650 because I really think getting the best player in the world, not as the favorite, is worth it in itself. I'll go with him. I thought about Luka, but it was 450. I really just can't take that, so I decided to not go there. Embiid, I thought about, but I don't know about the durability. I went with Giannis, and that was it. Just give me the best player plus 650, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, the MVP award usually goes to the guy that leads the league in player efficiency rating. If you just kind of go back and just go through the past 10 years, the number one guy, I think 10 out of the last 11 years, the guy that's been the number one leader at the end of the season in player efficiency rating has been the MVP. I think the lone exception was the year where Russell Westbrook was averaging that triple-double.
That was historic. I mean, they're going to vote for him anyway.
Yeah, so
especially with analytics being more involved in just mainstream media. I feel like half the people don't know what any of the advanced analytics mean, but they still talk about it every day.
Yeah.
So if you want to go based on the PER movement, it's a metric that a lot of people use for MVP, even though I'm sure most people don't actually know what that means. But you don't need to. That's what most people use as a criteria.
Yeah. And look, Giannis, despite even the years that Jokic won back-to-back years, like last season, Giannis was number two in that category, right?
Prior to that.
Yeah.
The award.
And then he was top three as well when Jokic won his first MVP as well. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to get any argument from me about Giannis, especially at a plus 650 price. I had Giannis on my list as well, but you have any more, Scott?
No, it's one of those awards where I just refuse to take long shots because usually you kind of know where it's going to go. And unless you have Curry back, like, I don't even know, 8 years ago at this point, who went from being a pretty good point guard to this is the most efficient season we've ever seen in the history of the sport, and you have an absolute explosion from a guy, I don't think there are really many candidates. Ja's a fun choice, but he gets hurt all the time, so I'm not sure if I want to actually take him.
Ja's not even fun anymore because he's 15-1. He's not even fun anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
A long shot.
I don't see much value with any long shots because you kind of already know who's going to be a finalist, and you're assuming no matter what, Giannis will probably be a finalist. Jokic might not be because they might just be fed up with him. They might just not even bother. But you're assuming Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic, at least two of the three, should be a finalist, and maybe Doncic. You don't have many finalists to choose from. Usually there's three per award. I really don't see a long shot even being in the running. So I just stuck with Giannis. I really don't see many long shots for this particular award that I was interested in.
Terrell, what do you got?
So, yeah, I mean, Scott basically summed it up with how you feeling about where to go with the odds. I'm not taking Giannis, but I'm taking the guy right below him, Joel Embiid, plus 650. And it's about the narrative. It's just about the narrative and what Joel Embiid is. Like, he hasn't won anything yet. Like, he hasn't won anything. And he hasn't even gotten first team because, you know, of what Jokic is here. And now we all expect Jokic to have not a down year, but it's not going to be as efficient as his previous two MVP years. And the only reason that Joel Embiid didn't win it those years is because Jokic was there. Last year, he was the scoring champ. He He scored 30.6 points per game, and he was a scoring champ. I think that this is the year where, one, if he stays healthy, if you tell me I'm getting a 60-game season from him, 68-game season from him, then, yeah, I'm going with Joel Embiid. I think he's one of the best players in the league. I think that he has the opportunity with James Harden there, with everybody else there, that, one, everybody's not going to be so focused on him, and he can just kind of go to work. And I'm playing into the narrative of voters just thinking, wow, this guy's been really good for the past few years, and we haven't had the opportunity to give it to him. Well, now we have the opportunity to, so I'm going to give it to him.
It's so funny how he led the league in scoring last year and he couldn't even make all NBA first team.
That's so wild. I can't even think of, like, when was the last time somebody didn't even make first team?
No, but you can make the argument you could have done two centers, but they stuck with position. So I believe Tatum was first team, right? You had, like, Tatum and Booker and all these other guys. But the point is, it is pretty funny. It's a little bit sad, but the point is you can make the series a narrative argument that not only did Embiid not win an award that he arguably could have won, he didn't even make first team.
You're second in MVP voting and you're on the second team. Like,
that's wild.
And so I think that this is the opportunity where they're saying, all right, Jokic is coming down. Like, we're not giving it to Jokic a third time.
Jokic can really be 20-1. They're not giving it to him 3 years in a row. It's just not happening.
And you talk about Giannis, you can play the narrative with Giannis that, hey, he has had his moment in the sun. Like, he's had his moment in the sun. This could be Joel Embiid's moment in the sun. I think if it's a close race between the two, they're going to give it to Embiid.
I thought last year's all-NBA second team was better than the first team, but
I don't even remember who the rest of the second team was.
So the first team was Booker, Doncic, Tatum, Giannis, and the Joker.
Okay, and that I remember.
The second team was Embiid, Morant, Durant, Curry, and DeRozan.
Oh, come on now. Come on. Second team is. Hey, I'm not even going to hold you. On a 505, second team is definitely
right. I don't want to be too harsh, but as you read it out, I know he had a great year last year. You know the meme where you have the guy in the clown suit, like, in war with a bunch of guys in uniform? That's kind of DeMar DeRozan. Just going to throw it out there. That's
DeMar DeRozan had a great year last year.
I know he had a great year. I'm just saying you're throwing out all those names.
And you said his name last. DeRozan was like, wait, what?
He was last on the list, too.
Yeah, you said it. You said his name last. I'm like, wait, what? Okay. No, you know it's the dragon. It's like a dragon meme, and all the dragons are serious, and it's one goofy dragon.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that DeRozan didn't deserve to be second team. I'm just saying when you mentioned those names to start, I was not picturing DeRozan when you said that. But I can agree with you on that. I mean, that's a very good second team.
Yeah. I agree with you guys. I had Giannis on my list as well. Plus 650, 6-1, wherever you can find the better number. The only other maybe longer shot I would consider, and again, it's a huge asterisk, is probably Kawhi at 25-1. But again, we don't know just how many games that he will end up playing, despite him looking healthy, ready to go and ready to play basketball. But that was the only other long shot I was considering at 25-1 for MVP.
I'm surprised Terrell didn't make a case for Trae Young, because I remember in previous podcasts, he mentioned he thought Young might lead the league in scoring.
Yeah, so I think I'm on him for, you know,
there's a market for that, right?
Yeah, scoring champ. I'm definitely on him for scoring champ. Not as much MVP. I just think, I truly think that this is the Embiid narrative year. And if he's there, then it's going to be him. Trae Young is a fun one. And I think Trae Young probably odds is going to shorten. So I would pick up a Trae Young ticket and just kind of wait for his odds to shorten and then sell the ticket. But I don't think ultimately he's going to come down with the MVP. I think it's more of just this is a crazy scoring year for him.
For the record, I see 11-1 for Young to lead the league in scoring.
Yeah, I like that. Anything else you guys want to throw out there? I mean, it doesn't have to be awards driven, but any exotic markets? We just talked about scoring leader. Any maybe number one seed you guys want to throw out? I know this is an award show, but I think this will be our last pod before we get into actual NBA game stuff. Anything else you guys want to throw out there?
I'm trying to think if there's anything, because I feel like most of the stuff that we liked was either for divisions or just for this award show.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, I can't think of much. Before I sell my house on Pelican stuff, I'll wait to see if Zion's ankle's a serious, concern or not. So I'll play it by ear. But no, I'm just looking forward to a fun season, and I'm trying to think of any other serious. Of course, a month or two in, the odds are going to shift. You'll see good value. I think Monty Williams, after it dropped pretty heavily from the first month, I still got 550. And he ended up winning the award. So you don't have to get all your value now. You could still miss some line moves, but once there's a clearer picture for any given award or even rotation on a given team, you could jump in and get some value. That's just my advice. I think that we can review this. I know that I'd occasionally have a rant on the prop cast. I'd go through some awards, stuff like that. So just because you missed the boat on some early awards doesn't mean you still can't bet it. Mm-hmm. I think pool's going to drop very quickly.
Shout out to JB Bickerstaff for the sweat. Yeah. Appreciate
it.
Bickerstaff
gave you a sweat. He gave you a sweat. I was never concerned with Monty Williams. I thought he just had it in the bag. But still, that's kind of my point. You can usually get a good read on a player a couple of weeks in. And if the line drops, don't be that concerned, because even if you could have gotten a 30-1 shot preseason and it's 7-1, but it's going to be like plus 200 at some point.
Yeah.
Just take the 7-1. You don't have to overthink it. Just take the value where you can find it. That's just my piece of advice.
Yeah, I think that some awards markets, like we talked about with Jordan Poole, that you probably want to take now because, again,
I think you have to take that.
Yeah. Because as the season progresses, it's probably going to end up around 2-1, maybe at even money, and possibly later down the season, he might
be. If he stays healthy, he'll be minus at some point.
Yeah. So, definitely, I think this will be something that we do. Maybe like once a month, get back into on like one of the slower days on the NBA gambling podcast, like on a Thursday. There's not that many games that we can revisit these markets as well and just kind of see where we're at.
We be having games.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday's like NBA, like it's only like two games like on TNT and stuff.
We could still give you a 2-hour pot.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'll leave it to you and Scott to do it. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast, the 2022-2023 NBA Awards Market. Definitely looking forward to the season. Terrell, anything else you want to get off your chest before we get out of here, my man?
No. I'm here. I'm ready for the season. Let's get to it. We back Monday, baby.
Yes, sir. Scott, anything else, my man?
No, not at all. It was fun going through awards. Let's make some money with those, besides all the individual games. Going to be a lot of fun getting the NBA season back underway, whether it involves the actual NBA gambling podcast or the prop cast. I know we got a lot of props that we like, but we know NBA was very, very good to us last year. And I know the Warriors were very good to me since I hadn't to win the title. So hopefully, we all just make some money and we kick some ass. Nothing else to say.
All right. We are back next week. I cannot wait. It'll be the same schedule as usual as we had last season. More importantly, hopefully we can put some more money in your guys' pockets as well. So definitely looking forward to the season. Till then, good luck with your picks. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna
dunk it. Basketball, give me Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.